Father God, I just want to thank you. It's amazing, Lord, how we can actually forget that what you offer is life. It's true life. It's eternal life. The message that we have as your followers, the message we have as your children, is that we've been given life. And sometimes we can't speak that message because we ourselves, we don't feel alive. So Lord, my prayer is that today that your children would find a way, if they don't already have it, they would find a way to feel alive. Lord, could we have a message that is not a message of just simply morality? It's not just a message of self-denial. Lord, it's a message of freedom and life. Would you bless us today with your word? Lord Jesus, would you reign over our hearts and renew our minds? Holy Spirit, this is about you today and the work that you do in our hearts and minds. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the loving work that you do, the way that you come alongside us and you're with us wherever we go. Holy Spirit, reign. Rain down on us. I pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're continuing our series in the book of Romans today. I just want to kind of just take a moment. It's interesting. You know, this is kind of that time of the year. We're heading back into our ministry year. So if you're not familiar with how the way works, or this is kind of you're new to the way, we always take a break through the summer. I mean, as do most places. But this is the kind of year where, you know, there's summer doldrums. And oftentimes when you're dealing with people, you can decide, you can either fight against their habits, you can fight against their routines, or you can just kind of lovingly come alongside of them and deal with how things are. Well, one of the things about summer, there's just doldrums, things get lazy during the summer. Lazy days of summer, right? Anybody ever heard that expression, right? And this is about the time where you parents with the kids are kind of going, you know, come on, school bus. Can't wait to see that bus coming down the lane. Remember, you know, my mom would start getting a little more hitch in her giddy-up this time of year. We kids are getting ready to go back to school. Now, granted, there's time left. What you don't do is you don't wait until the moment to kind of all of a sudden, it's a buildup. And I think it's good because here we are in the scripture, we're kind of building up. You know, we've come to chapter 8 of the book of Romans, which is like the most monumental chapter in all of scripture. And you'll find out. Stick with this. We got 3 weeks of chapter 8. Chapter 8 is just, it's like this mountaintop experience scripture-wise. And we're going to work our way through that. But we've been building all through this. And the idea is that we're going to take the word and take where the Holy Spirit has brought us and where scripture has brought us and compel us into our new ministry year. So now is the time. You already heard in the announcements, we're going to have a second Sunday, and we're going to be telling you people about ways to volunteer and classes to take. And I just want to say something. I'm going to say it as a pastor. I can say it as a pastor, okay? And I want to say it again. There are no non-participants in the kingdom of God. I don't care what tradition you come from. I know that there's a lot of people that believe that that church is and life with Jesus is just a matter of showing up on a Sunday and then going back to your routine, doing all the things that you do. It's bigger than that. If that's all you do, then I'm going to tell you that you are missing out and that you are settling for way less than what God is offering you. And you're not going to probably look a whole lot different than non-believers if that's how you approach God. And maybe there's times, there's seasons where we're busy and we're doing things. I get all that. But let me tell you, you're either growing or you're dying. And so if you've been in a posture of not really doing a whole lot, but just kind of little continuing maintenance as we go through the summer and all those things, if that's what needed to be done, fine. But that can't continue because it's going to affect your walk of faith. One of my biggest hang-ups of church, as it was that I came from, and the traditions I came from, and the traditions that are still very evident in the tradition that I come from, is mediocrity is fine. Matter of fact, it's preferred. I just don't get it. Because there's just something missing. I want to tell you a story. I wasn't sure if I was going to tell you this or not, because I don't want to make things about me, but it's kind of fascinating. Last week I was already, when I came Sunday, to come off of my, I've been on a break, a ministry break, kind of getting back in the Word, getting filled with the Spirit, and I was all ready to get back to work. And, my family and I, last Sunday, it was great to be back, and what a beautiful day. And so my family and I was so thrilled to be back last Sunday, I didn't even need a nap when I got home. I get home, and my wife goes, "You gonna take a nap?" And I go, "No, let's go boating. Let's go to the lake." So we got out on the lake, and I went swimming. We had a great time on the lake, my son and Vicky and I, and, of course, Macy, the boat dog, went with us. So then later that night, my wife and I, we had a dinner meeting at Applebee's in Pella, and towards the end of that meal, I just started shivering. I started getting the shakes and the shivers, and if you know me, I don't even shiver when it's 10 degrees out. So, of course, I'm one of those guys that I've got this, I don't know, I always called it the 7-day rule, right? If I got something for 7 days, then I'll go see a doctor, right? That's just kind of how I was kind of raised that way. Maybe it's the Dutch in me, I don't know. So I go home, and I've not felt like this ever in my life. I mean, I just felt like, I felt terrible. So I just wanted to go to bed. So I went to sleep as soon as we got home, and shivering, put on like all these layers of blankets, and felt terrible all day Monday, and Tuesday felt terrible, and then I started to develop this big nasty blotch on my leg. And I'm like, "Oh, that's not good." And of course, Vicky was convinced I was dying. You know how wives are. And we were kind of arguing. She goes, "You need to go to the doctor." And I'm like, "I'm not going to the doctor." "You need to go to the doctor." Finally, I go, "Okay, I'll go to the doctor." So I went to the doctor. It turns out that I have what's called, everybody heard of cellulitis? It's very serious. Put me immediately on IV antibiotics and all those things. And my point is this, and here's the whole point. Anyway, I'm getting better. I'm doing better. But my point was that I was struck by a conversation I had with a park ranger when we came off the lake. I asked him how the fishing was doing, and he said it was terrible. And I go, "Well, what's up with that?" And he says, "The lake is stagnant." And I was like, "Oh." So now I'm in the hospital with the IV going, and I'm thinking, yeah, the lake was stagnant. And there's all kinds of bacteria that grows in stagnant water, things that can kill you, things that are deadly that you can't see, but they get in there and they work at you and they cause damage in you. And see, stagnation happens in people. And you have to hear this, and you have to hear this clearly. When I say there's no non-participants in the kingdom of God, if you're in the kingdom of God, you're in the game, and somebody's going to try to come along and take a hit at you, and you're going to. So it's just a matter of whether or not you're going to play at the level God is calling you to play. If you want to just cruise and take it easy, then you're never going to have what it was intended to be. And that's kind of, it's important and it's relevant to where we're going for today, because last week, as we ended out chapter 7, Paul was in that place where he's like, you know, he goes, the things that I want to do, I can't do. The things that I don't want to do, I do. And so he's in this place, it's almost like this, just this complete lack of certainty place. I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I want to do. It's this life of a believer, and he uses this expression, who's going to free me from this pathetic wretch of a person that I am? Because I do things that I know are wrong. And the answer is Jesus Christ, and it's building to this place. But the question then becomes, how does Jesus do it? Anybody here ever stop to think? You know, I remember when I first became a believer, I had these questions. And one of the questions I asked was, why did Jesus have to leave? Wouldn't it be a lot easier to sell people on Christianity if there was still a 2,000-year-old resurrected Jesus hanging out over in Jerusalem? I mean, you think about that. You ever talk to an atheist who's like, you know, and part of their objection to the whole Christianity thing is like, well, why did Jesus, you know, why didn't he just stick around? Why did the leader of the whole movement, why did he leave? I'll even take it a step further. I'll take you to John chapter 16, Jesus speaking to his disciples before he left. He says in 16 verse 5, but now I'm going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. He says, I'm leaving. But in fact, it's best for you that I go away. How many of you think that your life is better as a follower of Jesus because he's gone? That must mean there's something else, right? So a lot of people, they think that here's Christianity. Jesus came, he threw out a whole bunch of rules, and then he said, have fun, see ya, and then he left. That's not Christianity. That's the way a lot of Christians live. But that's not Christianity, and it's not something that we should preach or teach or promote anybody to do, because if that's what you want to do, Paul just spent the whole last four chapters of Romans saying you can't do it. There's something else. There's something else about being a genuine believer. There's something else. And see, this is what we need to grasp, and we need to grab onto, and we need to make it a part of our lives. And then we become what we were always meant to be. Otherwise, we stagnate. You ever hear the expression of the horse that was, or the mule that was dropped dead center between two stacks of hay? And the horse spent the whole time saying, ooh, that looks good. Ooh, that looks good. Ooh, that looks good. That looks good. And he ended up dying of starvation. The moral of the story is, don't be a mule. Or if we weren't in church, I might use another word to describe a mule. But the point is that you've got to be moving. You've got to be moving towards the things of God. And how do you do that? Is it a bunch of rules? Is it a bunch of regulations? Or is there help? Jesus says, it's best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. He goes on to say that if I do go away, I will send him to you, the advocate, the counselor, the comforter, the Holy Spirit. He says, when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. There's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will speak on his own, but will tell you what he will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he's heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. There is more. And that more is the Holy Spirit. See, you were never meant to do this of your own power. You can't do it of your own power. You have to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. But here's the kicker that we struggle with on this. Is the Holy Spirit is Lord, not us. The Holy Spirit is not a genie that we carry around in a bottle that just shows up with special powers and abilities to make our life easier. The Holy Spirit is a governing presence of God that dwells within us and is telling us where to go, what to do, how to act. And you know something? We don't always want to go where he tells us to. It's not about us when we do that. It's about God. Sometimes the Holy Spirit says, do this or do that or sacrifice this. Sacrifice that. Take a class. Go deeper. Learn more. Serve. Serve. Love people. Serve in places when you could be doing something on your own, recreationally that you normally do. You know what? What I want you to do is when you do that, I want you to actually take time to witness to people or to serve people. And this is where this challenge is. Let's go to our Romans 8 text as we move into Romans 8. And you'll kind of see this as we move in there. So again, remember where we left off last week with 7. Now we begin Romans 8 verse 1 with the great verse, there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. If you read the first chapter of Ephesians, it talks about how we were sealed by God when we came and put our faith in Christ. You may not have been able to see it, but if you think about it, as a Christian, there is a seal that belongs, that is in you or with you, every single person who's a genuine believer in Jesus Christ. And that seal is the Holy Spirit. Now, what's the significance of that? The seal says property of the king. In the ancient days when the king would put his royal seal upon his possessions, that meant do not touch. And that's you. If you're a believer in Jesus, you have that seal, the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verse 1, again, verse 2. And because you belong to him, because you belong to Jesus, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The Holy Spirit is in you working. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our old sinful nature. The sinful nature did not have the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. If you wonder why Jesus, how is he the way? He had to become one of us to redeem us in our sin, become the sacrifice for us. Remember, we covered all of that. God did what the law could not do, his own son, body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law could be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. So let's go back to that mule staring at the haystacks. Well, that one looks good. That one looks good. And if that mule doesn't move, it's going to die. What's the Holy Spirit going to do? That's the good one. Go there. Forget that one. This is how it works. Now, what's interesting about that is we still wrestle with that. But that's how it works in the life of a genuine believer. We no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. What's the contrast between the two? If you would, turn to Galatians. I'll show it to you real quick. We've gone over this before, but it's worth going over again. Again, I would encourage you to so often ask yourself, how am I trending? What's determining the direction that I take? Is it my sinful nature? Is it my flesh? Or is the Spirit leading me? What does one look like? Here's what it looks like when your flesh is leading you. Verse 19, Galatians 6, or 5, verse 19. Well, let's back up. Let's go to 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Here you go. Here's the list. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery. Sorcery is rebellion against authority. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division. How many churches are filled with this? And nobody ever takes the time to say, you know what? I don't think God is leading this charge. Envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Kind of interesting, under idolatry, I love Matt's prayer before we took tithing. The number one idol that we have as Americans is our money. So, kind of an interesting thing. Wild parties, other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So that's one side. So, question. How's your summer been? Have you had any trends in that direction? I'm starting to get the calls, as I do every single year. Every single pastor will tell you the worst ministry months of the year are December and August. And the reason being is because people tend to get sidetracked or distracted. And then what happens in those moments, they start to think, well, everything's fine. You know what? I can have my cake and eat it too. And then they start to make little compromises. They start to do little things. And then in some cases, they get zapped. They get drawn in the flesh. But here's the contrast. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. This is what Paul is talking about when he talks about letting the Holy Spirit guide your life. How you doing, church? Are you relying on your power? Are you getting drawn into things that you know probably aren't a good idea? Are you making little compromises saying, well, you know, we just talked about grace, so I can kind of get away with some stuff? Or are you seeking the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life and trying to walk obediently to what God Himself that is in you? See, this is why your relationship with Jesus is the most personal thing you'll have anywhere, any place. Our walks with the Lord, they're not cookie cutter. They're unique to us. You want to have a conversation with somebody. I don't do this because I don't want to embarrass somebody. But when you get to a certain level, I have people in my life that will ask me this question. They'll say, what is God doing in your life right now? If I asked you that question, would you be able to answer it? Or would you feel embarrassed? You see, I like it when people ask me that question, because you know what, if I can't answer that, I've been drifting. God is always doing something. I'm not done. Are you? So if we're not done, and God will promises in his word, he will finish what he started, what is he presently working on in each and every one of us? And you know, it's all different. That's the amazing thing about it. One person may be over here being convicted about something. You know, let's go back to this fall. Somebody's saying, you know what? I feel like God's telling me I need to take a class. I'm going to take the journey. I'm going to take systematic theology. I'm going to, I want to just grow in my knowledge. I feel like that's what God's telling me to do. Another person may say, you know, I just want to serve. I don't even know where. Or maybe some of you are like, you know, God's giving me this enthusiasm to lead and teach youth or children or I don't know, whatever it is. But what is God doing right now in each and every one of you? Go back to our text in Romans. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature, verse 5, think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Remember last week I told you that as a believer, the battle is in your mind. The battle is won. It's in your mind. And so, it goes on. It says, so what are you thinking about? Your thinking is the number one thing. Do you think about, what are your passions and your desires? Those dominated, if your thinking is dominated by the sinful nature, you're going to think about the left side of that list we talked about in Galatians. I just want to be honest with you. There's times where my thinking can get so dominated by that garbage. And what I need to do in that moment is obviously confess to the Lord, but ask his help to change that. But I just need to change my thinking. I need to start turning my thinking. It's not about suppressing your thinking. It's about turning it, channeling it into what is good. Goes on to say, letting the sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Again, it comes back to the mind. How's your thinking? You know, what's funny is that we, you know, as Christians, especially as conservative Christians, we think that if we act the right way, everything is good. But it's actually, how are you thinking? It doesn't do you any good to, you know, wear a suit and tie and go to church every Sunday if in your thinking there's a lot of hostility, there's jealousy, there's idolatry. You know, I heard a fascinating message that my old pastor Kevin gave on generosity. And he said that generosity is probably the number one indicator of where you're at spiritually. Now, some people may go, well, that's ridiculous. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about how generous are you in your thinking? Or are you greedy in your thinking? Letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. And that nature resides in everybody in this room. You have a nature, a part of you, that still refuses to obey God. It says, that's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. See, that. As a believer, you've been freed from that power to control. It says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. Now is where the rubber hits the road. He goes on to say, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. Just let that sit there for a second. See, this is right about the moment when I read things like that, I evaluate myself because something like that scares me. Now, I'm not scared of losing my salvation. I'm not scared of any of those things, but I can remember years and years and years ago reading that and wondering why I had never seen it before. Why is it that they never talk about things like that in a church? And maybe, I'm not saying the never, I'm just saying I'd never heard it before. See, it's possible to be in a church and not have the Spirit of God residing in them. And how do you know? Because the Spirit of God should be compelling you to do things that are godly, that should be working in the lives of believers. He goes on to say, and Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. We sing that song, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. Do you feel like that? If you don't, you're stagnating. I'm not saying that you don't have it there. I'm not saying that you're not saved. What I am saying is I'm saying that you have stagnated and you are relying on your power to get through life. And I'm telling you, the more you do that, the smaller God gets. And the more you kind of fall into religion. You know, one thing I'll tell you, and I'm just going to share this. I love churches. Do you know the number of churches that I just a while back, I talked to a group of people from a church, and they're in a struggling church. And they came and they visited here, and they just have such a heart for Jesus. And they're in this church, and they're just like, you know, how can we get, you know, what you guys have? How can we get that where we're at? You know, we're called to stand fast in this church, but it just is dying over there. There's no energy. There's nothing going on over there. What can we do? Somewhere along the line, there's just this reliance on the Holy Spirit. And people got to stop playing church. They just got to stop. And they have to start relying on the Holy Spirit and taking risk, but walking obediently to what the Holy Spirit is leading them to do. Just the other day, yesterday, I was walking through, I had the whole place to myself, and it was like almost like everything just hit me. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. How did we get here? How many people were at the Way 8 years ago, 9 years ago? How many people were at that first? Go ahead, raise your hand. The first time the Way began. How did we get here? The Holy Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit wanted to do. And He did it through all the people that have been here and all the people that have been serving faithfully according to their gifts and stepping into places that they're terrified to go. But they go because God is compelling them to go. I still remember the first time I ever preached. I can remember the first time I ever preached anywhere. And I mean, not here. I mean, I'd preached probably 1,000 times by the time I got here. First time I ever preached anywhere. It's the old 5:30 service at Third Reformed Church. Very traditional. They had their hymns. They had given the senior saints their service, and they went there, and many of the people that were there had been at my old church that I grew up in, and they knew that ornery little Stephen. And I got up there and I just basically gave my testimony. I remember that. But you know how scared I was? And these people came up and they just wrapped their arms around me and they prayed for me and they just encouraged me. None of them said, well, you know what, we were expecting a better speaker and, you know, you did okay, but we need a better speaker next time, blah, 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 blah. They said, we're proud of you, way to go, and I'll just never forget that. But it's scary to step into places that the Holy Spirit is leading you to go. It's easier just to say, nah, it's too hard. You know what, if I did that, I'm going to have to sacrifice my life. Well, guess what, folks? That's being a follower of Jesus. The deal is that you get a better life. But a part of this life has to die. Because that's where you rely on the Spirit. We can do our lives fine, can't we? I don't really need help to do my life. I did it for almost 30 years without God's help. And I was living just fine. Everything was cool. But where he led me after that, once I encountered the risen Jesus Christ, and I encountered the truth about all of this, it's been this whirlwind tour of dependence and trust in God. One of the greatest advices that my pastor ever gave me, I actually got a chance to talk to Kevin. This is one of the reasons why we have such a close relationship. When I came to know Jesus, the Holy Spirit was just... And I went to go talk to him, and he said to me, he said, Steve, never say no to the Spirit. Never say no to the Holy Spirit. You can trust him. You can walk with him. He's going to take you to places that are a little scary. And you know what? You're in your flesh, you're going to want to turn back. You're going to say no, because that's what most people will do. But he said, go. It's worth it. Whatever you have to sacrifice, whatever it costs you, there will be more waiting for you. And that's what hit me yesterday. We had to leave our church to come here. We had to walk away from things that we were so comfortable doing. I was a leader at one of the biggest churches in the Midwest. Life was easy there. Our kids they were going to school with all their friends. Sunday school, all the things that were going on. But that wasn't what we were called to do. We had to follow the Holy Spirit. Have you been in that place in your life where the Holy Spirit is calling you to this next level, this deeper level? And I know it's hard. I know it's hard. It's not an easy thing. It's not a natural thing for us to do. But it's a worthwhile thing when we do it. And I want to encourage you, and this is what Paul is talking about. As we get into Romans 8, he's talking about this amazing presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that brings all of this to life, brings it all together, and gives us the power to be what the Word says we should be. It goes on to say, he'll give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. This is about life. Sometimes when I think when people choose things, you know, they choose things of the world against the things of God, my heart goes out to them. And I just think, this is not about religion, it's not about rules, it's about life. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Don't ever get caught saying that all people are children of God. That's not biblically true. all those led by the Holy Spirit are children of God. What are you? The good news is it doesn't matter what you've been to this moment. It can all change. Just like that. We're going to go into a time of communion. And this is a time, what I want to do is we're going to pray before we go into communion. And I'm going to put out some time for confession. Now, what does that mean? That just means in your heart, in your the space within yourself. I tell people, you know, if God is still up here, for a mature believer, God starts moving from somewhere up here to here. Have you ever actually just prayed to God in here? Because that's where God dwells. And he knows your deepest stuff. And he loves you anyway. So you can go there. He can actually in here, he can reveal things to you maybe that you didn't even know. And you can have that interaction time with the Holy Spirit as you go through. And it's okay. It's not God's shaking his finger at you. It's God's way of freeing you. And so we want to set aside some time for confession, but also time to kind of receive that forgiveness. This is something that's going to happen between you and God. You don't need anybody else to do this. You can do this one-on-one. And you do it through prayer, silent prayer, as we set aside time to do that, and then we'll move into a time of communion. So I'm going to pray for us as we go into a time of confession. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father God, I thank you so much for your word today. And Lord, I do come before you, and I confess publicly that it's very, very easy to walk in a manner in which we're used to walking. It's very, very easy to turn the truth of your word and the truth of this revelation into some kind of a ritual or some kind of a grouping of behaviors that we can achieve. It's not that at all. Lord, the truth is that we need to quiet ourselves, we need to humble ourselves, and we need to come before you, Holy Spirit. We acknowledge you as Lord, Lord of our lives, Lord of this church. You point us to Jesus. You cleanse us. You convict us. You do all the things that purify us. And so now, Holy Spirit, we as a people come before you, and we ask that you would reveal to us our sins, that you would move us into a time of confession. So, Holy Spirit, reveal to us the things in our lives that we need to release. Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for your kindness. We know that you see our innermost thoughts. You know our innermost desires, and you are just lovingly, patiently walking with us and working in our lives. Every one of us in this room that calls on Jesus is their Lord. So Holy Spirit, we ask now that if there's anything in our lives that you want to push out, you want to free us from, we ask, Lord, that you would bring those to our thinking so we can confess them to you and be free from them. Lord, we thank you for your words that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is a table for the family of God. All children are invited, even the ones that have had a rough week, the ones that have been beaten up and maybe compromised. As the Spirit compels you, you're invited at this table. This is a table for children of God. This is a table that is blessed and made by the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your sanctifying work. And now, Holy Spirit, we worship you as we enter into this time of communion. We ask your blessing not only on our communion, Lord, but on our worship as well. We pray this all in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So again, yesterday I'm here and I get this sense, how do we get here? And I'm thinking, wow, this is amazing. And then I feel God, like God says, Steve, y'all ain't got anywhere yet. This is only getting started. Things are only getting going. No eye has seen, no ear has heard of all the things that I have planned. And so I do know this, though. To get there, it's going to take all of us. So you have to ask yourself as you leave here and as you evaluate your walk of faith, are you growing or are you dying? Because there's only one person and power that can help you go where you need to, and that's the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. So through your faith in Jesus Christ, you have a helper, and he's going with you wherever you go. You're not alone. Please stand, receive this blessing. As you leave here today, I just pray that you would just know the blessing that you have as believers and children of God. And you'd leave now knowing the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ the Son, and the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit now and always. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great week.